We'll be receiving a word from our pastor, the Southwest Regional Pastor, Pastor Fidelis Alika, this morning. I'd like us to receive him with a clap offering as he comes up to give us this sharp word before we go further in the service this morning. Speak a word to the Lord. Father, give me a word. Speak to me this morning. Give me an impartation this morning. Speak to God this morning.
Lift your hands and speak to God. Lord, give me a word. I receive. Give me a word that will prepare me for the impartation. Lift your voice and talk to God. Laha so pre katuzi katala. Ezuzi na su fretuzi kakuli gadina diza. Efratoso katapaya. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you. I give you praise for this opportunity. I return all glory to you. I ask for grace as I connect with the mantle upon my Father and upon the commission in the name of Jesus. I want to use this opportunity to appreciate my Father and my mother for the privilege to stand and bring a sharp word this morning. Trusting God that the mantle will speak on my behalf and this opportunity will not be abused. In Jesus' name. Speaking very quickly on the lifting power of positive character financial integrity. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 11. Jeremiah 17, 11. And we shall read Zechariah chapter 5, 1 to 5. It says, as the partridge seated on an eggs, and hatched them not, so is he that getteth riches, and not by right. He shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Zechariah chapter 5, 1 to 5. Then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked and behold a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof. Verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me went forth, said unto me, lift up now thine eyes, and see what is this that goeth forth. The Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not be sharing any personal revelation. I've been around for a while and I've observed, I've seen my father, I've seen his practices, I've seen his teachings in this line. So I'll be drawing from what I've been drinking into for the past few years. Objective this morning is understanding what financial lack of integrity is. Number two, understanding the consequences of financial lack of integrity. Please note the following. Financial integrity is the manifestation of God's mastery over a life. It's the manifestation of God's mastery over a life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6 verse 24. The Bible speaking says, no man can serve two masters. For he either will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So whenever you see a person operating in financial integrity, it means that mammon has practically lost his grip on him. It is a demonstration of the fact that God has taken charge in this one's life. Number two, it does not matter how long you have been wrong. You can be right if you choose to. It does not matter how long you have been wrong. You can be right if you choose to. I realize that no matter how far you have gone in the wrong direction, when you realize that this is not the right direction, a U-turn is still possible. You don't say, since I am on the wrong road and I have traveled for long, let me finish it. Where you will end, you won't like it. Number three. Every decision without corresponding action equals deception. Every decision without corresponding action equals deception. I realize the case of the prodigal son. When he left his father's house, he went out and lived anyhow. Somehow he realized that this particular adventure will end me how I don't like. So he decided to return home. And the moment he made the decision, he backed it with actions. Because the truth is, you have not truly decided until there are actions following it. You have not truly made up your mind to change or do it until there are corresponding actions. And I believe that at the end of this meeting, the necessary actions that will make everyone to escape the pitfalls of financial lack of integrity shall be taken. If you are the one I'm talking to, you will shout a better amen. Very quickly, what is financial lack of integrity? I have three definitions here. Number one, it is the lack of transparency, honesty, and accountability in financial dealings. It is the lack of transparency, honesty, and accountability in financial dealings. Every financial dealing that is shady, something is wrong. Every financial dealing that is not transparent, something is grossly wrong. Number two, it is the illegal possession and acquisition of wealth. The illegal possession and acquisition of wealth. Wealth you acquired, but you didn't acquire it legally. It is as a result of lack of financial integrity. Now, the next definition is I took it verbatim from our father's teaching. Number three, it refers to access to financial means without favor, labor, or gain. Access to financial means without labor, without favor, labor, or gain. You can't just wake up and see it. It must either come from favor, from labor, or from gain. If it didn't come from any of these, then something is wrong somewhere. Please listen and listen very well. I realize that integrity with prosperity is a possibility. It is possible to combine integrity and prosperity. If you look at our father and our mother, you will know that it is possible. Because whatever God says to one, he says to all. Whatever he says to one, he says to all. You must not be crooked to prosper. must not be crooked to prosper. Crookedness makes destiny look crooked. But yours will not be crooked. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I say yours will not be crooked. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Are there examples of those who lived and they lived with financial integrity? For the sake of time, we'll take three. Number one, Abraham. Abraham, he was a man who at a time in his life, he had nothing to show. At 75, he was in his father's house. I believe he will wake up early in the morning and his mother will ask him, what would you like to eat? At 75, nothing to show. But God picked him up, and in that journey, he was tested. The Bible speaking in Genesis chapter 14, from verse 21 to verse 24, the Bible says Abraham practically refused to take what was not his. He said to the kingdom of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, I have lifted up my hands to the Lord. I will not take what is yours and make it mine. So that you don't say you made Abraham rich. So that you don't say I am behind this lifting. I have made up my mind that what is yours. What is mine will be mine. I will not allow it to miss the road at any time. I will not. And he ended up gloriously. We also see his life in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. The Bible says, Genesis 24, Abraham was old and well stricken in age. But the good thing is, the Lord had blessed him in everything. I announce to someone here, before you are gray-headed, you will have this kind of testimony also. Talking about Joseph, our next example. He was a man that had battles from childhood. Saw himself in slavery. And suddenly he appeared in the house of Potiphar. The Bible speaking in Genesis chapter 39 verse 4 to verse 6. Genesis 39, 4 to 6. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put in his hands. All that he had, he put in his hands. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. That services, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Can you try this with our people in this country today? That he left all he had in Joseph's hand. He didn't even take account, but not a pin was missing. God was watching. Nature was watching. When his stewardship on the platform of integrity was complete, God ushered him to the next level. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 41 to verse 44. Genesis 41, 41 to 44. And Joseph, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hands and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck, not the chain of slavery anymore. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and he cried before him, bowed the knees, and he made him ruler over the land of Egypt. You know, the Bible said that he that is faithful in little shall also be faithful in much. He was faithful with the small one they gave to him, and God gave him a bigger platform to exercise that same faithfulness. Nothing was missing on his way, and he landed in the realm of financial glory. I announce to someone here, that will be your portion at the end of this convention. If you are saying amen, can that amen frighten your neighbor by your side? And what shall we say about the man called Job? According to my father, he said he was a man of notorious integrity and undeniable prosperity. in Job chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 3. Job 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. It's like he refused to chew evil like the others were chewing it. He refused to accept and chew it and swallow it. And in verse 2, look at it very quickly. He said, and there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. In verse 3, his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household. So that this man, not another one, this one was the greatest of all the men in the east. Not another. The man of integrity was also the man of prosperity. No wonder the devil himself could affirm and testify. In verse 10, in verse 9 and 10, and verse 9 and 10, Job chapter 1, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for nothing?" In verse 10, he said he had made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side. Thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance in the land is increased. Even the devil took note of the blessing. Even the devil, very soon, those that don't like your face, they will still acknowledge that God has blessed you. Are there examples of those who had lack of integrity? Very quickly, there are 3. Number 1, Adam, the first man ever created. Born an adult, he didn't grow into it. And goofed big time. He ate what he was not licensed to eat. Then he lost what he had the right to eat. The garden was big, vast, with all manner of things. I can't still come to comprehend why the only one he was not asked to eat was the one he chose to eat. I don't understand. And the moment he ate it, he stopped eating. There are things not to eat, people of God. And there are things to eat. If you eat what God has not given you, you lose what he has given you. I remember one particular day, I was in the office, but prior to then, I had a revelation about a church member who was in that revelation. He was telling me everything is shut down, everything is locked up, nothing is working, I can't even pay my tithe. When I woke up, I knew what that meant, so I sent for him and I asked him to come. And after I spoke with him, he said, exactly. We were in church right there, the power of God moved, and I prayed for him. Under 24 hours, everything opened. And after that, the people that refused to pay him for months called and apologized. They paid him and compensated him with another contract. Then a few days later, he entered my office. He said to me, I brought my first fruit. The prayer worked, and I brought my first fruit. I prayed for him and he left. But when I opened it, I saw tithe. I have been around my father to know that there is difference between tithe and first fruit. And I said to myself, Adam was in the garden. It was not everything he was supposed to eat. He ate what he was not supposed to eat and he stopped eating. I picked up my phone and I called him and I asked, I said, you said first fruit, but what I see is tight. He said, it's tight. They are the same thing. I said, they are not. Next time you have your tithe, go to the accounts department. I prayed for him and I sent it to the account department. I called the accountant and I said, see this. He carried it. I didn't know God was testing me. A few days after that, I woke up in the morning with an alert. You know, there is something called alert. Another one is called alarm. It was about 4 times more than what I sent back. And I said to myself, this was what Adam didn't escape. I decided to escape it. You will escape. Number 2. Achan, in Joshua chapter 7, 1 and verse 22 to 25, the course of time, you read it. He saw the Babylonian garment. He saw, hear this, that you are seeing it does not mean you should take it. He took what he was not supposed to take and he condemned his own generation. He, his wife, and innocent children died the death they shouldn't have died. Terrible. Another one was Gehazi. Gehazi was close to making a generational news. If Elisha carried double portion, he would have carried double of double. But the place of greed and covetousness disconnected him. In the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 5, 20 to 24, and the man that Naaman that came to church was the one preaching to him and said, be content. When you get to a point where the member you are supposed to help is the one preaching to you, there is something wrong somewhere. There is something wrong somewhere. He said to him, be content. Be content. It is not everything you take. His major problem is, hey, my master has spared this man. When you get to a point where you see people as money, there is something wrong with your head. My master has spared this one. So he went, and he was not spared. Because leprosy located him around his generation. I see somebody escaping after here. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, what are the consequences of lack of financial integrity? Number one, the lack of financial integrity shortchanges you. It shortchanges you. It disqualifies you from handling what originally belongs to you. That was coming your way. In Luke chapter 16 verse 11. Luke 16 verse 11. Very quickly. It says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? Who? You have not been faithful in the one that belongs to another. How do you expect to have your own? That was a trap the devil was setting for me, but I jump and pass. You will jump and pass. Number two, the loss of your God-ordained destiny inheritance. Adam lost it and it was irrecoverable. He lost it. Created like God, God in heaven, Adam was God in earth. He lost everything because he took something he shouldn't have taken. Number four, the presence of transgenerational causes and calamities. Transgenerational causes and calamities. Hear this. We come from Africa where we already have enough battles from our ancestors. We come from Africa where we have things we are dealing with. We don't know where they come from. It will be gross wickedness to dabble into things that will implicate the next generation. Wickedness. What Gehazi did didn't just end with him. It ended with children that were innocent. It affected children that were innocent. Be a full stop to what is following your lineage. And make sure that from you, it is good news all the way. Make sure from you, there is something good that is started. Abraham was born into a family that worshipped idols. But you hear me? What followed his family didn't follow him because his practice was different from the practices of his family. Number four, the opening of the gate of death. The opening of the gate of death. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 11 tells us that whoever gets wealth or riches, not by right, will leave it in the midst of his days. Simply put, die premature. If you doubt me, whenever you see Achan, anywhere, ask him. Finally, number four, five. Nakedness and shame. Nakedness and shame. Adam, that was what happened to him. The moment he ate, he was naked. The moment he ate, he was ashamed. The truth of the matter is that nakedness actually speaks of vulnerability. You become easily accessible, easily destroyable. Anything can reach you. There is no covering anymore. Please close your mouth so you can cover your life. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, today I receive the grace for financial integrity. I refuse to be a victim of the lack of financial integrity. Lift up your voice and give him praise. Celebrate him. Bless him. Honor him. Zibarato sokate pare. Eduzatu kataprato zatu na santa. Give him praise. Give him glory. Zota preta zuzate.
Be upstanding. Give him the praise. That is raw download of everything that we stand for in the financial area. Raw download. Many things have been heard. In Africa, we are already battling with ancestral causes, generational calamities. It will be disastrous to now implicate your innocent children by your stealing, by your taking what is not yours. If your father gave you generational curses, give your children generational blessings. At least be better than, be released better than what you received. Every generation should be an improvement on the next generation. Hallelujah. It's very, very important. The subject was deliberately chosen for this morning as we trust the Lord. As you are a pastor, you will come in the line of temptation. Everything they put in your hands that is legally yours is your blessing. Anything they even put in your hands that is not yours. People have given me envelopes before. They call it my offering. Prophet's offering. I brought it to you. But they title it for the work of the Lord. That now becomes an implication. I am the servant of the Lord. I am not the work. Don't implicate me with your title. So it has to be redirected. It has to be redirected. Somebody brings an offering and said, I brought it. And gave it to me. I said, what is it for? He said, I brought it to God. Said, so, and you are giving me. He said, yes, I came to church and it is you I'm seeing. So I brought it to God. I said, Kai, you want to kill me before my time? I am not God. I showed them where to take it. We say Adam ate one fruit and lost the whole garden. What God has not given you the license to eat will deprive you of what He has given you the right to eat. It will deprive you of what. Big money is coming. When Adam took the fruit and lost the garden, it's like taking 1 million naira and losing $1 billion. A $1 billion that was meant to be coming your way was diverted because of a 1 million naira that you took. He said the curse of the Lord is in the house of a thief. It will destroy the chambers. So any house you build with stolen money will collapse. Physically, spiritually, and otherwise. He said the curse will enter the house of a thief. And it will destroy the timber. It will destroy the timber. Hallelujah. There are structures that has collapsed. Some is bad engineering. But some may be traceable to this. Hallelujah. Someone say aloud amen. Did you receive anything this morning? Anything you took illegally in the time past, Lord, I am sorry. The one that can be returned, let it be returned, if possible. Somebody's laughing. He's in Nigeria. It's like meat that enter lion's mouth. It's not vomitable, right? Praise the Lord. But nobody shall be a victim. Nobody shall end as calamity. Nobody shall end in disaster. In the precious name of Jesus.